Welcome to Supercomputer, a show about making sense out of a mess of technology. I'm Alex Cox, and I'm an automaton in training.
And I'm Matthew Casanelli, and I just bought a laminator machine.
That's like the most analog thing that anybody could ever do. Why a laminator? A laminator, I guess? A laminator machine
isn't a thing, but I don't know why I said that. But I don't know. I think the physical aspects of having a checklist that you can mark off and erase and do again is something that just appealed to me and my girlfriend. I think that's part of it, is just wanting to keep more casual track of something like daily habits, but then use task managers for deeper things I do myself. But also laminating is just fun. And it seems like one of those things that's counterintuitive, because you're melting plastic, but you use one sheet of paper 500 times. And so it's kind of like, I'm not sure what the trade-off is. Maybe I should research that first.
Wow. I mean, if this is how the Task Manager Palooza episode is starting, I don't know where some of this is going
to
go.
I just wanted to throw that one in. It's mostly just for around the house stuff, because it did just make me think of my Jamba Juice days, where we had the opening and closing checklists and stuff like that, and got to stay on top of it, because I mean, maybe that does lead into the task manager stuff, because not all of that needs to be scheduled with a project to do my evening chores or something like that.
Have you read the checklist manifesto?
I have not, actually. I've done all the I think the Triggers book references that a lot. I might have watched the TED Talk, which is a hack for getting a lot of the value from some of those books without spending 6 hours reading it.
Yeah.
Because they usually do, it's like, look at the book title and then TED Talk, and they talked about it. I mean, it's not the same, obviously, but...
Well, the only self-help book I've ever... I guess there's two. The only two that have ever made a difference in my life are Getting Things Done by David Allen. Ooh, shocker. And It's All Too Much, which is kind of like the Marie Kondo book about like getting rid of everything except with common sense, and like there's no talking to your belongings and saying good evening to them, which that just did not appeal to me, despite the fact that I do like to anthropomorphize my objects. But the Checklist Manifesto was just kind of the first chapter is like, hey, yeah, checklists are really, really important and vital. And then he goes on to, it's a surgeon who's written the book, and then he just goes on to talk about all the horrible things that happen when you don't have checklists.
Yeah. And I mean, I think I must have absorbed it through someone else, because I totally believe all of those things and like practice it a lot, especially in the last few years. I guess I should probably get the source material, though. But just having a checklist,
really,
even when
don't.
It's not necessary, is like, that's why you have the checklist, is because the checklist is like the work in the process.
Oh, yeah. I have checklists for all my checklists. However, unlike you, they all live in OmniFocus, my task manager of choice. But we will get into that, because you've made a mind map in which the center says task manager, and there's like, what, there's four main branches?
Yeah.
Is that what they're called? Branches?
Nodes, I think.
Nodes?
Yeah.
Names are stupid. The main reason I wanted to have this, like, obligatory productivity episode is because Siri shortcuts are wow, everyone's going to be so mad. Well, both Siri shortcuts and Shortcuts the app have really changed how I use OmniFocus in an awesome way. And OmniFocus on the Mac is finally out. Hooray. But you use Things, and you are very, very into Things and the Things ecosystem. And I was going to make fun of OmniFocus's name, but I have to say things over and over again. And yeah. Wow, that's just a pain. It's better than Taoist, but still.
Yeah, none of them are fantastic with Siri because things can just feel so generic. But I've kind of gotten it embedded into my head by now.
I'm sort of interested, though, in why you chose things as your task manager, especially because you're so deep into shortcuts and automation. And Things is a relatively simple app that I don't know. Tell me why it's good. Tell me why you like it. I don't understand. It's very pretty.
Yeah. I mean, I think that is one of the parts that's really enjoyable about it, is that it is just really nice to use. And I think it feels very touch centric. Like OmniFocus was built on the Mac and seems like a Mac app that has been not like ported to iOS, but is just built originally for a larger interface. And then this is like a mobile version that you can get into it. Whereas Things feels like it was built for touch and for you to like use it across all of them. Like, it's sort of hard to explain exactly why, but I think a lot of the gestures and things like that make it quicker and just like smoother, and you kind of have a like slide to the left, tap, move, do all these different things, and you're kind of in a flow. Versus I always felt like OmniFocus a little bit, I was struggling against it to get it to do what I wanted.
Okay, I'm going to violently disagree with that.
Yeah.
But I agree. Things has a lot of great almost like touch shortcuts, but if you don't know what those are, you're like, what's happened? Oh, the calendar popped up. Ah, oh no, I've made an area into a project or a project into an area.
I think something about it. Do you ever use Reader for iOS for RSS feeds?
I do, yes.
And how you can like swipe to mark as unread or mark mm-hmm. as read or things. Something about that has always appealed to me. It seems like a very natural mobile gesture. And you swipe to the right in Things to move something in the calendar and swipe to the left to select it and move it. And then, I mean, they also have really, really good keyboard shortcuts where you can use almost the entire app from the iPad keyboard, which is really nice. Like I can kind of power through stuff where I couldn't used to be able to do that before. But I think I did get really deep because they were like the main app that came out with a big URL scheme while Workflow mm-hmm. was kind of after I had left Apple and before Shortcuts had come out. And so there was kind of just a really good opportunity for, I wrote like a 7,000 word article for the Suite Setup about what are URL schemes and how to use Things is to add tasks and things like that. See, I'm saying things multiple times in the same sentence, but
save the things to Things for things to do later. Well, can you give me some examples of what you use like X callback URLs for with Things? Because I did not read the 7,000 word
How
page.
Dare you.
I know. Well, I started and then I'm like, I hate this app so much. I love Matthew Casanelli's writing, but I hate this app much. It also languished for years and years.
Yeah.
And I'm afraid that the same thing's going to happen and my life is going to be stuck in this very pretty app that was it's going to be like 2028. And I was like, well, 10 years ago, this sure was great. Which, you know, you could say the same thing about OmniFocus, except it literally has been decades. And I think that it has evolved drastically, not just from Mac to iOS, but from versions 1, 2, and 3. And the iOS versions, I think for a long time, totally eclipsed the Mac app because of the geofences and like the geotagging, or contexts as they were called until a few weeks ago. And now they're finally called tags, and you can have multiple tags on a task or a project, and it's changed my life. But Things has always had that. So why X callback URLs for Things? What do you use it for?
I mean, in many ways, some of the templates that OmniFocus has in those ways, you could just do plain text templates and then use URL schemes to send the text in as a project or as an individual item into the right project. So, I mean, it's very, like, the reason, I guess, besides task paper, OmniFocus also has a lot of URL schemes, and those have always worked with shortcuts too. And I guess what did get me deep into it was that we didn't build workflow actions for the new things URL scheme. Whereas in the past, the team had always built the actions, but since it was at Apple and I wasn't there anymore, I just had to figure out the whole URL scheme myself. And so just really diving in there and learning more about it got me excited, because I could just take plain text and send it into things as a template instead of, like, task paper honestly is showing that to any regular person and trying to explain to them how you use, like, markup in order to denote mm-hmm. when task, it's like, it really works and it's super effective, but it's also like, what is this? Like, mm-hmm. it's kind of crazy at a certain point. Like, it you're like incanting in your text in order to get it right. Whereas with things, you can kind of, I mean, you can still do like a hashtag for the header and then bullets and stuff like that, but then I could just pull it apart and do what I want with it through shortcuts. But I think it's less the URL schemes that got me onto it, and some of the, I mean, I was just listening to the episode of Canvas that came out last week or 2 weeks ago, maybe, about task managers, and Federico always makes the good point about things doesn't just like punish you for not doing a task. And I think this is where I was talking to Rosemary earlier, and she was saying how OmniFocus is critical for her too. And it seems like it makes sense that you use it, because you have a job where you have to do things, otherwise stuff doesn't happen. And that's not the same for me in the same way. Like, I don't have tasks. I have things I need to get done in a very literal name way. Like, I have things to do versus you have like a bunch of tasks for your job, versus like tasks are just one part of it, but, or like projects and how I manage it. But it is just like, it's less about the process and more about like the end goal, I guess, of just finishing it the way that I want to.
That actually makes a lot of sense. And it also seems like you're going about it in a much healthier way, let's say, or a way that humans were sort of supposed to think about their day-to-day lives. But that's not where we are right now in terms of our culture and in terms of, oh, I'm shuddering saying this, but knowledge work. And it's not how I think Rosemary and I, you're right, have similar situations where there are so many dependencies to everything we do that we need something that's incredibly powerful to tell us exactly what we can do when, and when we're in a certain place or when certain things are around us, which is why the perspectives in OmniFocus is such a beautiful, wonderful, like, brain-saving thing, which allows you to, you can create custom perspectives in OmniFocus Pro, if folks don't know. And so it'll be like, okay, only show me the things that are due this week that need to be done in the studio and at night, so after 7 p.m. or something like that. And but none of that shows up for me until I need to see it, until I
I think that part is where you have, or OmniFocus has an advantage, where, because in things you can tag items and filter the results by the tags, but it, so you can still see only what you want when you want to categorize it that way. But I think the not ever showing it until you get to that point is, I think it can get very, very close. But I do agree that, I mean, I used to use OmniFocus, and their views were really nice. I think just when I had a different type of job, but it is like, I can do the same thing for my computer, for my phone, for my iPad, and I just need to do it. But not like, I always struggled with the nested like checklists within a task, like, because OmniFocus forces you in, forces it into nested tasks, which is great. And like that, they do it so much better than I've ever seen, where I just want continual, like an outline that also is tasks. But then I just had the struggle where I would set something for due, and then it's like, you have 95 tasks for this one project to do right now. And really, I have 5 things to do with 4 checklists of 20 items each. And I think the way things has, it's like an area, which is just kind of a folder in OmniFocus. And then there's the project, which is the overall thing, tasks. But then the checklist in things is a sub item on the task, and doesn't, it kind of sucks that it doesn't show it sometimes, but it also is really nice when I don't need it, because it's really a 5-part project. I mean, there's headings too, like there's a whole mess of things, but
there's in things. There is a mess of things and things.
I saw that coming.
I think it's an interesting, it's a very chill app. I think a silly way to talk about, or rather it sounds like a silly way to talk about it, but you're right, all of your tasks roll over to the next day. There's no like gigantic red, even the tags like are a pleasant like pale red, if I remember,
or green,
yeah.
I mean, I think the psychological difference too that I appreciate, and OmniFocus does this in a way of like the, what is it? The prep or defer? That's what, the, yeah.
Yeah, so defer dates defer versus due dates.
Because it's like things has deadlines, which is when something's due, but then you schedule it, the calendar part is just like when you're going to work on it. And so to me, it's like, if you have a super important thing, set that with a deadline, and then you can have it, your defer date is just the when, like 5 days earlier or something. But it does break down a little bit, where like you can't have this, then this, like the sequential versus parallel stuff.
Yep.
Is really nice. But, and then I think also though, to me, OmniFocus falls down with just tasks. If I don't have a project, and I know there's the whole thing of if it has more than 2 steps, it's a project now, but like not really. Like it's like I'm like trying to build my whole media career or whatever from scratch, and so like that one thing that I need to do should not be a project. Like I have actual projects that I'm working on, and elevating something to the wrong level of importance, I think, is where both of these systems start to break down, because you like try to get it so just right, but then if it's not just right, then you like dismiss something. But
here's a question for you then. What do you consider a project if it's like you said, oh, I know. Do you have a project called Supercomputer? And what is in that what would be in that project?
I do not, because I think one of the problems with that is that it's never ending. And so I guess just before I dive into that, the reason why this falls down is because things doesn't have the review like you do with OmniFocus. And so that's where if I just had a project with Supercomputer, I know that I would have 50 tasks in there that I want to do eventually that are just kind of floating there. And then I have like the actual episodes that we're recording, and then those would just kind of like either be repeating each time but still unfinished, or some sort of abstract thing. But I have Supercomputer as an area and things.
Oh,
and
I
then
see.
I can like leave ideas in there, but then I have a project for the task manager episode, and that's like specific to set up the room and record and all that and outline and everything.
See, that's interesting, because we sort of have a similar, We have the same tasks, but a very different setup. So I have a folder called supercomputer, and the projects in there is are supercomputer admin, which is a single action project. So they're actions that are kind of, I guess what you would call tasks that are in an area, because they're just kind of like the free floating type of thing where I just, none of them have due dates, but some of them are tagged. Like I also have, I have tags for pretty much every person in my life as well. So most of them are just tagged Matthew Casinelli and either high energy, low energy, or meh energy.
I'm very curious which ones for me are meh energy.
No, none of them are.
You're like, I can't deal with Matthew today. I'm just going to. No.
Meh is actually a. It's kind of like the middle, really, because low energy is like, oh my God, I just need to get some stuff out there to make myself feel better. Whereas meh is like things that just sort of have to happen, but they aren't particularly taxing or they don't require a ton of overhead. So I don't have any meh tasks in here right now, but when I go to my supercomputer folder, and then I have a supercomputer admin, and then I have a publish supercomputer, which is a sequential project, meaning that each task needs to be checked off before I can see the next task. And then I also have edit supercomputer, which is a parallel project. So those tasks can be done in tandem. Like I can be syncing up a file while stuff is downloading from Dropbox, and that doesn't necessarily need to happen in a specific order. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think what's hard for me with that part is just hearing that. I was like, I don't necessarily need to know that in order to do it still. Like, it's nice to know, but it's not a need to know or like need to have for me. Because, I mean, I think it is different because you're much busier than me, but.
It's not so much that, though. It's because you do need to know it, but it just lives in your head. And the whole idea with getting things done is to make a clean, like, make your brain a clean slate. And while I don't know if I'm busier than you, I definitely have sort of more balls in the air, I guess, just by the nature of having a jobby job.
In the air there. I thought you were just going to say, I just have more balls than you.
Wow. I've got, you know, my I have many, many testicles. I should probably get it checked out. At this point, it looks like a strain. It's like Diglett or, oh no, not Diglett. Digtrio. But it's like a trio of Digtrios.
Oh,
so
God.
Nine testicles. Anyway,
I'll cut that out of the show.
The idea being that I don't want to even have to think about, I don't want to think about having to like export it from Ecamm. I don't want to think about taking it from save calls and uploading to Dropbox. Like those are all supernatural, obvious things, but I don't trust my brain. I trust my system that my brain has set up. I always assume that my past me is an idiot, and my future me is also an idiot, but the present me is putting stuff into OmniFocus that will help my present, or I'm sorry, will help my past and future self.
Is it, I guess, I think that's still totally true, and I'm not like, the checklist parts, I think, all make sense. I think for me, just the benefit of seeing only the single next task versus seeing a checklist with 10 items and I could just check them off in order, that's not like enough to sway me from back to OmniFocus. And I think there's other features there. I mean, I think what you said about having a whole project that's never ending, that's just admin tasks, that's what I don't like, is that eventually you just have cruft. You have like 10 single task projects that are just tasks of tasks. And it's like, you have to like build it around it, as opposed to the way things just works with areas, is I just throw them in there and I can do them when I need to. Or like, I mean, the way, I think the way that you are doing it still makes sense. Like, I could have a project that just repeats each week, and then there's a heading for edit and a heading for publish, and just has those checklists in there still.
Oh,
so
yeah.
I don't, it's, and then I think even now with the perspectives, Shortcuts kind of does get you close, because you can have, especially Things has this whole fancy Shortcuts builder in the app where you can specify kind of like whole templates, or just specific open into this project with these tags applied. And that's kind of like the perspectives thing.
Yeah, I guess
the thing about things.
I really, again, Things is super cool. And I'm actually, now that you're saying this thing about templates, I didn't even realize that you could have templates in Things, because that was a huge thing for me with, oh my gosh, a huge benefit for me in OmniFocus, is that I can create, it is like, it looks like nonsense to anybody who isn't familiar with the like task paper way that you build templates for OmniFocus. But now that I can put those task, I can put the all of my task paper OmniFocus templates into the application drafts, or just put them now specifically into Shortcuts, and I just create a template. That's so powerful and awesome to me. And then if let's say I'm starting a completely new project that is going to perhaps be not a recurring project, but it's something that's going to come up in my life again, like travel. I love my wonderful travel template, because it's, I don't know exactly when I'm going to travel, but I know that it's a thing that is going to happen. I know that cleaning out my garage is, for various reasons, I can't have it on a schedule, but when I'm like, oh yes, garage cleaning time, I know that like to get out the hose and take out the batteries of the garage door opener and all that jazz. And
yeah, those you could totally do with the URL scheme and or Shortcuts and drafts. And I mean, people have done a whole, especially with drafts, a whole fancy like markup within there, so that if you use specific characters, it will recognize that you're talking about the notes of the task versus something else. So like, they made their own task paper for Things in a way. And I mean, that did remind me of like the someday feature in Things. I love that.
Oh, I hate you can, that.
Oh, really?
Why do you like that?
Because I just like don't need to think about it now. And that, like you said, a travel checklist, you could just set it to someday in your personal thing and bring it back in when you need it. Or it's just like, I have way too many ideas for projects and I'm trying to tackle them all. When you set it to someday, it just takes it out of the main view. And so in a way, it's like its own perspective of, or like there's anytime tasks, which are also not just stuff that's due today or things like that, but just things that are available and not set to someday. So then it's kind of just like when I'm browsing for a random, or I'm bored, I could just hit anytime and go find a task there. And it's something about all of that. And then they even have today versus this evening. And for me, that's a huge differentiator of like, I usually need to prioritize during the day when I do something, and giving it a specific time of day to do it doesn't work for me. Or like just saying it's due at 5 p.m. is like, well, it's not really due at 5 p.m. It's just due by the end of the day, or I can work on it tonight. And so it just, it is like just all of those layers connected in a certain way. where I still can go into OmniFocus and set up, like, I might use it for more specific projects because those templates are better, and having like a 15-minute window in between the first task and the second task is helpful in certain situations, but it did just become too much for me, I think.
Interesting. And then
the gestures, like, I mean, I'm still not great at it. Like, I'll still add 100 tasks to my inbox and then let it sit there, but that's usually not essential things.
Oh, how does your brain, like, compute with that? Because one of the great things about OmniFocus that you mentioned are, and this is pulled from the getting things done cult lifestyle that OmniFocus is largely based on, but the idea that every week or some people do day or week or month, you review your entire task infrastructure. And that is essential for me. I do it once a week, and because that whole, like, someday maybe thing, I just can't have a list like that. Otherwise, it will never ever happen, and it'll just be nagging in the back of my brain. Like, it's to me, that's like saying write a book about manatees, and like that's not a thing that I don't know. And people are going to think that that's a joke, but I've totally considered making a zine about manatees. But I know that I just don't have the bandwidth for it. And I guess I see the appeal of a someday thing, but I don't know. How often do you look at that? Is it you mentioned travel. So is it a holding place for something that's truly going to be later, or is it like sudden, like, when are you gonna be like, man, I'm done with all of the things in my life, what should I do next? Oh, here we go, here's some gigantic project that I forgot about and now I want to do.
I think it's kind of how some of it comes down to the UI, because when you're in an area or a project, it puts the someday stuff down at the bottom and you just don't see it, and then when you're in the anytime view, just overall, it only shows the active projects, and then you can go to the someday view. So, like, there's multiple ways to see someday. And I think usually a lot of it is stuff that I don't need to do as part of it. Like, I have like 1,000 tasks in here that of like all these articles that I found over last year, or like, here's one link to a developer thing about service workers that I can use to make my website go offline. And like, one day I want to do that, but it truly is not important to anything I'm doing now. And so I don't want to lose that link. And so I just set it to someday and kind of forget about it. I don't think I use the templates as much. Like you said, I use drafts and stuff like that. But to me, it's nice to not lose the task, but not have it cluttering up what I'm working on. And then, I mean, some of it doesn't work. Like, I do have a bunch of tasks in a lot of my, like I was saying, I do wish it had reviews because it would sort of force me to do that. But I can kind of do it on my own in many ways. Yeah. And again, like, scheduling it doesn't always work for me. Like, I can, that's one thing I'm looking forward to with the Launch Center Pro 3.0, which is in beta now, is you can schedule the notifications in like multiple times a week. So you could just have like Mondays and Fridays open my anytime view with my work tag applied and then just go through.
So basically you have to use Launch Center Pro to fix the recurring task feature that doesn't really exist in things.
It's less, it has its own recurring tasks. I mean, I could set a task to review my projects. Like, I don't, I think the review thing being part of OmniFocus philosophically is nice, but you can get the practical benefits of it in some somewhat simple ways. Like, it's not as, I really do miss the review part, but I think the thing that I don't miss is not doing it, because I would just oftentimes not actually do my reviews, and it, stuff did fall apart for me, and if you don't do it, then the whole system breaks down. And so it's like, it does kind of put the burden on me to manage it versus just like every once in a while going, like the anytime view does show each project with like three tasks under it. So mm-hmm. you can kind of get a sense of what's next on each of those projects or areas and then tap in it and go and organize more. But I need to do it a lot more because I have had like buy new socks in here for like 3 months and then all my socks are like getting giant holes in them.
I have a recurring task of buy new socks for every 6 months, and sometimes I do that, and then sometimes I'm like, oh no, all my socks have survived. The cat has not destroyed them. Awesome. Because he thinks he's a puppy and needs to destroy socks. I'm curious, because you're talking about this, and we're talking, I think it's interesting how we come about this in a very different philosophical way, but it seems like you used to have a similar philosophy to me and then sort of changed over when you felt like it was stuff was getting out of hand for you. So just things,
I mean, I think it was things in its style that, because it kind of like when they rebranded it was, and they charged a lot for it, it was like, oh okay, like these guys are taking it seriously now, it seemed like. Whereas before, I don't know their story, but I don't think they were full-time developers. And now they're charging like $70 for the whole bundle. So I think that gives them, that makes me confident that they're going to keep updating it.
Oh, and, wow. Look at this. Yeah. And I say, oh, wow, like good for them. Like they should be, because as much as I'm pooping on it, it is a very, it's a very pretty powerful app.
I think they're like both very similar now. And I think OmniFocus 3 just edged out in a couple areas, whereas like, I think it was really behind with not having tags. But at the same time, now that their tags can have like location-based reminders, is I'm like, that makes me jealous. But
oh,
I do think things
so
needs to slightly emphasize tags more. Like it is kind of an added feature. And if you search for a tag, then you can view the tag, but there should just be in the sidebar a tags category and you can just browse. Like it's a little buried, but something about it, like whenever I tried to manage my tasks on my phone with OmniFocus, I just couldn't do it. Like I couldn't, maybe this was before drag and drop really got huge too, but like just moving a task into another task was like an effort in OmniFocus. And it like they have sort of esoteric icons and things like that too, where you have to like recognize what it means after a while, whereas something about things was just like, yeah, just like swipe and select them and move it over there. It just like, it just worked.
Can I hear your list of tags? How many tags do you have?
This is the other thing that I need to get. I've been trying, I have a project to organize my tags, but it's hard. It's hard because I want to have like the same tags everywhere, and I have not gotten to that point because it takes a really long time to try to organize all of your different systems in the same way. Like I want a folder system that matches my tags, that matches like my Mac tags, my OmniFocus,
oh.
or my things tags, so that like everywhere I go, it's the same.
Oh, that is interesting.
I literally have an article that's like designing better tags.
That is like, very interesting. Oh, now I'm okay. Sorry. Oh, wow. Oh my gosh. Well, so is writing that article a task or a project?
Well, oh, wait, no, I found an article. I'm not writing it, but...
Oh, you found an article?
Yeah, no, I
Show
found
notes.
This article that was like...
Ooh.
But I haven't like absorbed it yet is the problem. But so my tags right now aren't good enough because I think that's another thing, that things as tags are easier to manage on the Mac. And so that is a little disconnect because I want to like rearrange my... I just did my bare ones last night. And so that took me a long time. And now that app actually makes sense to me because... Something about it, if everything's not tagged, it's like an endless list of notes. But I mean, my main tags that I use are somewhat by category. Like podcasts or videos, but then I have one that's just like work. And so I don't know how OmniFocus treats it, but things tags are also like cascading. So when you apply a tag to an area, all of the tasks in that area can be sorted by that tag automatically. It's kind of, there's like a filter by tag, but then if you go to the tag itself, only things that are directly tagged with it work that way.
Can you have multiple tags on a task?
Yeah. Yeah. It's real tagging, not like context. So you can have, like, I have a, let's just see. So like my supercomputer one has podcasting, important, and work, because I also have an important tag that I've been trying to use. Because that one thing I am struggling with things is that sometimes I struggle between what I want to do today and what I should do today. And like, I don't want to add a deadline because I don't need to do it today. But then like some of it is not important and some of it is. But so then I can just filter by work, and that would show me my supercomputer area plus my YouTube videos area. But if I just filter by podcasts, it would only show me supercomputer. And then I have like another one that's like guest host or guest on podcasts and stuff like that. So that would show up. And then you can add, like, I have ones for Mac, iOS. I think I even had an Apple Watch one, but I don't ever use that.
Oh, that's a good idea. I don't have one, actually, that is an Apple Watch. You want to hear my tags?
Sure.
Okay. I've got today, which is sort of the anytime tag. Like, it's not due today, but it's just something that I can work on. There's the low energy, high energy, meh, iOS, email, Mac, phone, office, iPad, apartment, and then in nested in apartment is kitchen, living room, litter box, bookshelf, and bedroom. And then there's a morning, these aren't ordered well, but there's morning, Amazon, Slack, desk, and then person, and there's too many people there. Evening, which I actually stole evening from the things concept of evening, which is kind of nice. And then Google, there's research, and then under nested in research is Google library, and then nested in that are various libraries that have geotags, and then Wikipedia, wow. JSON.
You go to the library?
Only when I have to. I love libraries. It's just they're out of the... I just don't like people. Love libraries. Don't like interacting fair, with fair. The people at the library.
Chicago Public Library isn't perfect.
No, it's... I mean, it's better than most, but... our digital library system is actually very, very cool.
Yeah, nice.
But yeah, sometimes just going in to like look at a database is just way, way cheaper if you do it through the library. Fair. And then that's it. Oh, in shopping, there's Target, PetSmart, Whole Foods, Trader Joe's, Walgreens, Walmart. I don't know why Walmart is in there. Where's even that location? Oh, gonna get rid of that. CVS.
Did you say one a second ago that you had one for a JSON?
That is mislabeled. It is labeled JSON, but what is that? JSTOR, sorry. I don't know why. I think it auto-corrected. Oh, and then I have iPhone. I should really reorder these. That's, I guess, my one thing is you do have to manually reorder your tags if you want to, like, have them in a specific list. But that's not really a concern for me because I don't go... There is a... in the sidebar in OmniFocus, there is a... if you don't have the pro version, you can just select tags, and then there's my crazy list of tags. But all of it is... most of it are, like, pared down into custom perspectives, like shopping and like Good Morning has a cascading list, or rather a sequential list of stuff that I do in the morning, which I think we talked about this in my morning routines. I've tried to make that a little bit less neurotic. Like, I don't have I don't have the list of the things that I need to do in the shower anymore, but I still have shower as a task. But this is how I trust my system, I guess, because as soon as I don't trust it, like, my brain falls apart. And I guess you seem to trust your system in things.
Yeah,
I guess.
I mean, I think what's hard is I am, like, reshaping a lot of the ways I work. Like, mm-hmm, I've only been making videos for 2 weeks and or 3 weeks, and it hasn't been exactly the smoothest process, probably because I'm not using task managers really that like, or I'm trying to, but I'm like, well, I just need to film right now, I don't have time to do it. But even like, I tweeted on Sunday that I was like, yeah, I'm not gonna get a video out tomorrow because I filmed one and it was bad, and I watched it and it wasn't interesting, and so I was like, I need to figure this out, because I just like kept getting behind, and then I'm like, well, now I have to write the script, and I focus too much on getting the script done instead of having it be a good script and things like that. And so I think now that I've done it a few times too, and like made the necessary mistakes to learn what was going wrong, I do have very good potential for a bunch of checklists. And I like, the biggest problem with my whole process isn't tasks, but it's links, where I like find articles that I want to do stuff with, and making a task out of that isn't effective for me. Like, a task that's just like the article name is just like something that should be an Instapaper, really. And then but I know what I want to do with it, and it's like, I would say that half of my things database is stuff that I read and I was like, I want to blog about this, and then I make a task of it, but that's not really where I should put ideas. Like, and that's just been falling down for me, because I try to make a whole Trello or an Airtable or I just got my Baird notes organized, so maybe that's a solution for me. But,
well, you actually created, I sort of have a similar thing where often I will send in the share sheet. Yes, that is what it is called on iOS. I will use that to put, I'll send articles or emails into OmniFocus just in the inbox, because that every night I process all the tasks in my inbox, which are just the like, whatever. That's my brain dump, which is why I trust my system, because I don't need to think where specifically something needs to go at the moment. And I sometimes almost use the inbox like a notebook, like just like jotting down something. Like, as long as it has a verb, it can really go in the inbox.
I use Drafts for that, where I'll capture a link or something or a task and leave it all in Drafts. And then, but then my problem is that I pump it all into the things inbox, and then it sits there until I organize it. And like, I think the organization thing is what I don't do enough of, like a daily review where I clear out my inbox. And I think it's hard though, because it's like, I don't have to do it today. And so it's less, there's just less of a critical day-to-day change, but I need to work more on like planning out my whole week or something like that, because that's more like, we haven't even really covered like everything besides project managers, of just using a calendar or reminders or something.
Oh yeah, I think this definitely needs a part two, because you have used a lot of stuff just according to this mind map. And in fact, I was like, hey, what do you use for mind mapping? And I want to try out MindNode. But all of the other, like, there are a ton of other apps that I while OmniFocus is basically my brain, I have started to experiment sort of with drafts and with Bear, actually. Bear is kind of where a lot of my checklists live as a... I guess kind of like what you use as like your laminated checklist. That's kind of what Bear is, because I can like send that via Markdown to another person, be like, hey, here's the shit you need to do. Whereas if I sent them the task paper template, it would be like, oh God, absurd. Oh my God.
Yeah,
oh God.
Exactly. That's what I was. I do the same with Bear. I just found a bunch of old checklists that I even had in there. Mm-hmm. Because it does, I want to try to use drafts. I got to find the right time to sit down and decide whether I want to do it or not. But the problem with me is that I use drafts for so much as an inbox that if anything's in there, I'm like, get out of there, like archive, and it's less helpful. But it's still essentially the same thing. I guess right now the difference is that it's not on the Mac, and so maybe Greg will change that.
Hey, Greg.
Yeah. I still want to get on. I don't know if he's testing
turtles.
The beta, but
I love turtles. Or no, tortoises. I love tortoises. Damn it.
Yeah, don't get it wrong. Okay. Now he's not going to bite you.
Oh, now he's like, you know what? I'm going to scrap the whole thing because Alex Cox got the name of my company wrong. The Agile Turtles. Oh, boy.
I just realized, by the way, I should totally use, this is likely unrealistic, but use a scanning app to scan my laminated checklists and then use those as templates into things.
Interesting. I think you could OCR that. Hold on. Why?
Yeah, why?
Aren't they already typed, or did you have
exactly. Some sort of, I don't know. There's so much that you could do.
Oh, and, boy.
I mean, I didn't even talk about, like, I use Launch Center Pro to jump into a lot of things areas, or now I can use Siri suggestions. And I have a whole, one thing that I don't like about things is that it doesn't do as well with data portability, because if you try to share a project, mm-hmm. it will just not share the notes of the tasks. And so especially dumping 500 links into there is it will just share the titles and mm-hmm. not the links. And that kills me. And so maybe in some ways I'm stuck in things, but at the same time, like, data portability is really nice, but I think most people aren't switching task managers over and over again, and that does always give me some clarity, but then I end up falling back into bad habits, and it's, I think, at least for now, I just need to spend more time in here, and I think part of it is because I haven't been spending as much time on my iPad a little bit, because I'm shooting videos and producing podcasts, and then I have a fancy new iPhone XS Max, and so just specifically the last 2 weeks, I've just been using that more, and I realized that some of it isn't as fun to manage there, and I do like picking up the iPad screen and dragging my tasks around and doing stuff there.
All right. I think we definitely need to have a part two, because we barely talked about automation, and oh boy, have I gotten, let's say, dig trio deep into the new Siri shortcut, specifically the shortcuts built that OmniFocus has built in themselves versus just using the shortcuts app. Although it's bonkers all the things you can do, and I'm just kind of losing my mind with excitement. Because it's even more so that, like, now in shortcuts, you don't even need to, like, open the OmniFocus app. You can just, like, see your tasks in there. Like, it's so cool. And I mentioned this to you beforehand, but listening to the most recent episode of Cortex with CGP Gray's, like, crazy way of organizing his Bear notes, I'm like, oh, my God, oh, my God, oh, my God. And now I kind of want everything to be a tag-based lifestyle. I used to be a context person, and now I am like, I want to tag everything. I want to tag, like, my apartment really should be tagged with, like, colored post-it notes of, like, okay, these are the morning things, these are the night things, and I like, these are the happy things, and I want to like the yellow post-its all over my PS4 for place or the new Spider-Man game on PlayStation, because
you know,
oh
you
my
should
gosh
do? You should print out QR codes that are your URL schemes to launch in and add your project. Like, you have physical templates.
Oh, for things. My gosh.
All right. I think we need to plan in our iMessage thread. And
oh, my God. That's
just go
so good. That's so good. Oh, no. This is going to be.
I mean,
oh.
We didn't even talk about Apple Watch, because that's, I've been using the new watch face stuff. I guess I'm. Now I just realized you don't have the watch probably.
Yeah,
so
I keep stalling
you,
but... because hopefully it'll come. Hopefully it's going to come this week. But yeah, I keep being like, soon. Because I haven't been using, I have been using my watch, but not a ton more than I normally would. Like, watchOS 5 is awesome. I love not having to say, hey, supercomputer, into my wrist and just whispering into my wrist during the day. It just makes me very, very happy. It's the little things like that. I didn't know actually that the like raise to talk would work even if you didn't have a Series 4 watch. So now I'm like, oh, I'm a fancy Dick Tracy person now. I feel like a spy.
Very spy. Yeah, exactly. One AirPod in and you're like, I see the subject. Did you get my walkie-talkie before we were starting? Because I saw you sent me your lovely P-tape shortcut.
Yeah.
And I tried to then record it and send it back to you as a walkie-talkie thing, but I think you might have been busy, so I'm not sure.
I don't know. I'm still getting that walkie-talkie bug where it just never goes away, and it's...
So that's... Somebody else explained that to me. I think where it just shows up for a split second.
Yeah.
Every time. I think that means that you're available. And so if you go into the walkie-talkie app and swipe up, you can turn off availability. Which makes sense, because then you're not... Like, you could be like, okay, I'm not going to be in a meeting for 2 hours. I can turn that on, but...
Oh, no. Oh, no. How do I... Oh, no. Oh, there we go. Whew. There should be a shortcut to...
Yeah, let's
start and stop sure. this.
It is interesting how so many people are like, why don't they have shortcuts for accessibility stuff? And I'm like, I don't know. Like, good point. I want that too. Like, I think there is just a certain amount of it. Everything has to be built. You can't just do it. And so maybe soon. I don't know. That'd be nice.
Yeah, I think there is something to be said for how quickly we've all been super spoiled by this. And where I'm like, man, why can't shortcuts talk to my watch more? Like, oh, it's so dumb. Why won't it do this? And I'm like, wait, you don't even calm down. You still don't understand magic variables. You're barely...
Oh, yeah, I guess we should address that at some point.
Yeah, yeah. But I do really like how... Already people are bumping into limitations, not because I don't think it's, you know, a totally robust app, but because people are so enthusiastic that they are really pushing it to its limits. Like, I think it's a great thing. But yeah, okay, transition, where can people find you on the internet, Matthew Castanelli? And when's your next video going to come out?
Okay, that part I don't exactly know, because I still haven't shot or reshot my last video. But you can find me on YouTube at youtube.com/MatthewCastanelli. And then you can also find me on Twitter at Matt Castanelli. But I'm trying to do weekly videos right now, so the week is still young as I record this. And I'm hoping to get one out on Friday, but I'm also in the spirit of being healthy with the way you manage your tasks. Is I'm not trying to just put it out there to put it out there. Like, I do want to make sure it's good material, and so I'm trying to make sure it's useful and interesting and not just like, oh god, I have to ship a video. So I'm glad, because I felt like this one was going to be really boring, and now it's just dead in the water instead. And I also wear like a gray shirt with like a slightly gray background, so it looked very drab, and it's like, I gotta get some color in there.
Can you tease what the new video is going to be about?
Yes, and this is also something I need to figure out, is to stop promising what my next video is in my first video, because I said last video,
don't do that.
I was like, I'm going to do my top shortcuts, and then I'm like, crap, I don't want to do that right now. I should have waited. I mean, maybe I should just do it, because people want, I mean, first people are like, make a video that just explains how to use all of it, and it's like, well, okay, that's what I'm trying to do. There's so much, I can't just do the whole thing at once, but I think people do just want to learn how to build them. Like, great examples is awesome, but not knowing how to build your own, I think, is what is just like holding people back, and makes you feel dumb when you just can't figure it out. And then it's like, here's this great one that I just figured out. It's like, cool. Like, I still don't know how this works. But it's a challenge. Like, going, here's how to build an endless tool from scratch,
right,
with zero examples. It's like, it's not, I don't have Apple's marketing might behind me.
For the people who say that shortcuts, it's not like programming, like, fair enough, but it still is like a very rich ecosystem that you need to understand, with tons of very literally and figuratively tons of variables to constantly consider. And if it was easy, or rather, if you could explain everything in like one 30-minute video, it wouldn't be as interesting.
Yeah, you wouldn't. You have to practice it, mm-hmm, in order to figure out how it'll work into your life, and just me telling you, it's also like, that's the problem, is I could do like an hour long thing. First of all, it wouldn't be interesting, but then it also is just like, if I just tell you everything, it's not gonna immediately, you're not just gonna now know how to build shortcuts. Like, half of it just won't even have made sense, where it's like, there's just, I'm trying to reach everyone, and so somebody's like, nothing you said made sense to me, and then another comment is like, finally I can explain it to my friend, and I'm like, where do I go from there? But
I think people need to learn to they have to start with the, like, their fingers on the F and their index fingers on the F and J keys on a keyboard before being able to type the quick brown fox jumped over the lazy dog. Is that the sentence?
Yeah, I think so.
I'm also gonna, please don't yell at me if you type differently than that. It's I tried to do a metaphor and it fell apart. Please don't be mad.
Yeah, I mean, it's, I feel like I repeat myself, but the biggest thing is to look at all the actions, like, mm-hmm, see, mm-hmm, what you have to work with, because until you do that, you're going to think, it's like, can it do this? And it's like, well, if look in it, and if it can't do it, no. Like, and I guess that's a snarky response, but it is like, or it's, people are like, I want to know if it can do this. It's like, if you search for the keyword in that sentence, you'll find the action that does it. So it's like, I think even some of the UI makes it a little bit harder, because you have to hit cancel, whereas before it used to be a back swipe, but even still, browse through all of the actions. That's the biggest way to get started.
No. Just subscribe to your YouTube channel, and then eventually they'll learn everything. It's just going to take a few years.
And make sure to smash that the bell.
Smash the bell.
That was the longest divergence from, where can people find you, Alex?
Oh, I'm at Alex Cox, spelled COX, not the other way, on Twitter. And I do a lot. Everything
plug
is
him,
there.
Plug him. Do it.
What are the shows that I do? There's Due by Friday with Max Temkin and Merlin Mann. There's Roboism with Savannah Million on the Relay Network. There's The Robot and the Unicorn with Kathy Campbell, aka Mrs. Soup. And then there's Two-Headed Girl, which is a upcoming show that I'm making with my wife about gender and mental illness. And then there's this show, Supercomputer, which can be found on Twitter at @Supercomputer. Yes.
Yeah. And also on Instagram. And I swear we will do a live stream where.
Yeah, we didn't do a live stream because I got sad about the state of democracy.
Like, oh, let's just release this fun little chat. And then it was like, oh, this is the worst possible day to do this.
This is. So. I, oh, wow. And the funny thing is, too, I was like, If you're in the future, maybe everything's great. But right now, America's kind of going through a crisis. Our republic may be crumbling. We'll see. But on Wednesday and Thursday, they were just, oh boy, Supreme Court, Senate hearings, and you know all about that. And if you are bummed out, I hope that this silly episode with so much information that's arbitrary and also philosophical at the same time will cheer you up, because honestly right now tech podcasts are like what's keeping me going, because technology is inspiring and beautiful. We're making sense out of a mess of technology, you might say.
Oh god, yeah, we were talking about doing this whole episode with an air of desperation underlying it, and it's okay, so let's say one of your main focus areas is overthrowing the patriarchy. Well, in things that would be what's called an area.
And I was thinking, like, is that a sequential project or is it? I think it'd be parallel actions.
Yeah, you want to get at it every time. You don't just want to start with one and wait for that to happen, because everybody's got the sequential actions of get him impeached, and that's the first task. But there's many others. Mm-hmm. No. Okay.
All right. This has been another episode of Supercomputer. Thank you so much for listening.
See you later, nerds.
Got distracted because that noise was just so pleasant.
Oh. Can you guess? Could you tell what kind of can it was?
I'm going to say a Diet Dr. Pepper. Mm-mm. God, I'm so good at it.
No. You were wrong.
Sorry. Wait. Oh, no. My skill is gone. Diet Coke. Red Bull sugar free.
Yep. There it is.
Oh, that's what I'm drinking. Oh, my God. Nice.
For some reason, I stayed up till 3:30 a.m. organizing my bare notes and watching Jessica Jones, which is not the greatest show terms of writing at points. I like it, but there's definitely moments where, like, Ariel's watching and, like, she just overhears one line and she's like, come on. And it's like, yeah, all the Netflix Marvel stuff have moments like that where it's like, if someone else is watching and not doesn't care, they're like, that sounded really dumb. Like,
yeah, I came in on Luke Cage and I'm like, oh boy.
Sweet Christmas.
But then watching it, I'm like, oh boy, oh, you poor thing.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, once you get into it, it's fine. But if you do just hear like a couple one-liners, it's like, oh, that was cringy. I mean, okay, so no spoilers, but I mean, it is spoilers, but the end of Iron Fist season 2, he literally, first of all, he shoots guns with his fist glowing and the guns glow, and then he shoots two guns and the bullets meet and stop another bullet in midair. And I was like, this is the stupidest shit I've ever seen. Like,
I mean, I want my favorite show on TV right now is Wynonna Earp, which is, it sure is something. It's very hard not to compare it to Buffy, but it's like Buffy but better than that. Like, the writing is that cheesy sort of writing but like genuinely funny, and it's it's about a lady who fights demons in her hometown, and she's a descendant of Wyatt Earp, and there's like this curse that has infected the Ghost River Triangle, which seems to be a made-up area that's supposed to be like the Old West, but really it's shot in Canada, so it's it sure is something. There's vampires,
that's my favorite part, is trying to explain these shows to somebody, just like, here's what's happening right now, and it always sounds so absurd. It's just like, so it turns out the box that was left at the orphanage that she works at was actually from her mother, who's the dragon lady who won her powers from a pirate. And it sounds like a mythical story, but actually, she's the great descendant. It's all like, if you say it in a voice like this, then it sounds dramatic.
Oh,
but if you
boy.
Say it in any normal voice, you just sound like a dummy.
The dragon. Well, you see, Jon Snow's real mother. He might be fucking his sister. We really don't know. Spoilers.